Welcome to this month's special guest interview.
This month, I'm very pleased to have Barry Carlson as my special expert guest. Barry Carlson is chairman of Vitex Nutrition, a first-class manufacturer of premium dietary supplements in Canada. In 1976, Barry founded Quest Vitamins, a Vancouver-based vitamin supplement company that eventually became one of the most technically advanced vitamin manufacturing companies in the world. Barry also founded NRX Botanicals in 1997, a leading Canadian supplement company with distribution in several countries. Barry first became interested in health and fitness as a young man in his early 20s. As an amateur weightlifter, he studied the role of diet and nutrition in developing strength and endurance. He discovered that many of the world-class Olympic athletes were vegetarian and as a result decided to adopt the vegetarian diet. In March 1999, Barry was inducted into the Canadian Health Food Association's Pioneer Hall of Fame in honor of his innovative work in the industry. Barry is also the contributing editor of the Nutrition Digest of Essential Nutrients, a highly respected reference work. Good morning, Barry, and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update.
Thank you, Corey, and good morning to you.
It's really great to have you on the show and a real privilege to have someone with your caliber, your industry experience and insight and expertise, Barry. So let's start by maybe taking a snapshot back in time of when you connected with weightlifting, and maybe you can tell us, because a lot of our listeners are athletes and trainers and teachers of exercise, maybe you can tell us what connected you to weight training and what that experience was like and how that brought you into your interest in nutrition.
Well, that was when I was a young man in my 21 years of age, and some of my buddies worked out at the local gym, which is quite a far cry from the fantastic gyms that they have today. This was a basement gym with, you know, the old-style weights, no fancy machines. And I became interested in the weightlifting. I had a natural ability, I guess, natural strength. This was the Olympic-style lifting, not the powerlifting, but the Olympic-style lifting. But my body weight was in the heavyweight class, and some of the guys that I was training with were 30, 40, 50 pounds heavier and therefore more, you know, stronger. So I thought, you know, if I could get down into the light heavyweight class, then I would be probably more competitive. But I had a concern that if I lose about 15 to 20 pounds, which I needed to do to get into that class, I would be worried about losing my strength. So I started to look into the role of nutrition. I mean, we all took power drinks back in those days, eggs and milk and desiccated liver and wheat germ and all those things. But the idea in those days was to pack on the bulk to get the strength. And in a competitive class, I wasn't competitive at the heavyweight class, so I had to get down into the light heavyweight. So I looked for a way to reduce weight without losing strength. And I came across an article in a magazine. I've lost it over many years, but it was about this Olympic decathlon. You know, the decathlon is the best all-around athlete, the Olympic champion, and this man was a strict vegetarian and gave basically the type of diet that he followed, and the principal protein he used was tofu. Well, back in the 50s in Vancouver, you couldn't walk into a local health food store or supermarket and buy tofu. But Vancouver had a very thriving Chinatown, and that was one of the main ingredients. So I used to go to Chinatown to get the tofu and make up my shakes with tofu rather than with eggs or milk and so on. And I started to lose weight. I was quite amazed because it came off quite quickly. But the most amazing thing was I started to gain strength. I became stronger than I was. So I got a double benefit, and just to make a long story short, I trained for about a year that way and got my weight down into the light heavyweight class, and at UBC in those days they had the weightlifting championships, and I took the light heavyweight title, so I was quite pleased with myself, and I found that you can be a competitive athlete and be a vegetarian. A lot of people have a misconception that you need to eat meat. I mean, meat is fine, but you don't need it. It can be done without it. So that was my exposure to the role of diet and nutrition in athletes as a personal case.
Now, your experience with weight training, obviously that touched you in many ways. What have you noticed about the population now compared to when you were young? Are there more people training? Are there less? Are there more people that are taking steroids. What are some of your observations about what's going on now compared to back in the day?
Well, back in the day, of course, it was weightlifting and working out in the gym was not the popular thing that it is today. They didn't have these fancy gymnasiums and fitness centers with all the Nautilus equipment and swimming pools and so on. It was very much a specialized lifestyle. And many of the guys were bodybuilders, wanted to gain bodybuilding championships. In fact, my younger brother, he was the junior Mr. BC at one time because he was into the bodybuilding side of it. So today it's nice to see that so many people now are taking part in fitness. The research is showing now that exercise is an incredibly important part of overall good health. But when I was young, we weren't concerned so much about overall health. We were just concerned about getting stronger or bigger, as the case may be. But all my life, after I won the championship, I never stayed with my competitive weightlifting career for very much longer. I had a life to run and a business to develop and so on. But I always maintained my interest in the diet side of things. I stayed a vegetarian, and I am to this day, and I've never been sick in my life, so that's also a good indication that the right type of diet is very important to long-term health.
You know, that comment you just made about never being sick in your life is an important comment, because isn't it also true that men who say that then drop dead the next day? Can you talk about the accumulation of damage without being aware of it and how we contract that? You know, how do you know that you're well outside of just your subjective feeling of being well? Do you get your blood chemistry measured? Do you measure your health in other more objective ways?
Well, yes. I've always kept fit. You know, like, I gave up weightlifting because I just didn't have the time, to work out on a regular basis, 6 or 7 hours a day, which it took. It was, beyond my schedule. But I kept fit by riding my bicycle and keep the cardiovascular. So I rode my bike for all these years, and I still do to this day, although not quite as much. Regular exercise, whether it's running, cycling, working out in the gym with the weights or the machines and so on, something that is regular and consistent with increasing both strength and endurance, with your cardiovascular health along with your muscular strength. These two things are absolutely essential, in addition to the good diet, to maintain good health. So I learned, and I studied nutrition because that became my passion, and I also used the knowledge that I had learned to help other people. And actually, one of the first jobs I had was as an insurance salesman, selling insurance in Calgary, Alberta. It was life insurance, and one of the things I had to do when you're taking a policy is to ask people their health questionnaire. Have you ever had cancer, heart disease, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? And, I found out that a high percentage of the people I talked to had conditions that either restricted their insurance coverage or disqualified them entirely. So I became quite interested and talked to people. I said, well, have you ever thought about changing your lifestyle or improving your diet or taking herbal supplements or vitamin supplements and exercising and things like this? So I was able to help people in that regard, those that would listen, of course. Not everybody is open to changing their lifestyle, even if they're dying of a major disease. But that's human nature, of course. But all these years, I got into the vitamin business itself. I was an avid purchaser as a consumer of vitamins. I would, frequent the local health food stores and read all the latest articles and books and magazines and talk to the staff of the health food stores, learning as much as I could. But I had no knowledge of how a vitamin is actually made. That this was quite foreign to me and to most people, for that matter. But I befriended a gentleman in Vancouver. We became good friends, and he was working for one of the major health food companies based in Vancouver. And he was a salesman, and he would call on the various health food stores selling the vitamins and nutritional supplements. But likewise, he knew nothing about the manufacturing side, but he got me interested in the business aspect of it. I was always a bit of an entrepreneur, and I thought, this is a good business. I think many people are becoming more aware of the role of nutrition and diet and supplements and so on, and it might be a good business to look into. So to make a long story short, I learned as much as I could from him and did some research, found a manufacturer actually in the USA, Portland, Oregon, that was a contract manufacturer, made vitamin products for different brands. And I visited them and learned quite a bit. And I said, well, can you make some vitamins for us? Of course they could, and that's how the whole Quest Vitamins started, was to bring out our own brand of vitamins, and we started the business, and it grew very, very quickly from a small beginnings to a, you know, a $20 million company.
But you mentioned the fact that you learned from this friend. Now, can you comment on the importance of mentors in your life or in the lives of others? Our current state of education, you know, you and I both know how important education is, but it seems as if the education system is producing individuals after going through from grade 1 to 12 years without any knowledge of proper, decent health care or fitness priority. Maybe you can comment on what you think that state is relative to health issues as well.
Well, yes. I didn't have any mentors in the health industry other than those that wrote books. And I always remember the most important author and naturalist was Jethro Kloss. I picked up years and years ago his book called Back to Eden. This was the story of how he was able to treat people with serious diseases from cancer and heart disease and diabetes with natural means in his clinics or his sanitarium. That became my Bible, his book, Back to Eden, because it gave all the information about how these herbs would work. And I would pass this information on to others. And, of course, I've read many other top authors. A good friend of mine, Earl Mandel, who was the famous writer of the Vitamin Bible, one of the biggest sellers of all time in the nutrition industry. I met people like Dirk Pearson and Sandy Shaw, who were the founders of the Life Extension movement in the USA. As Quest Vitamins, we had them as our guests, and we learned quite a bit about the role of nutrients, vitamins in particular, in maintaining cellular health and therefore promoting longevity. So there's a few people over the years that have influenced me greatly. Dr. Gary Gordon, he's a famous cardiologist. So I learned quite a bit about how the medical profession works and hides the information from the general public and even from their own people, their own doctors, about the role of nutrition. In fact, Dr. Gordon, he explained to me one time, he said that when he went to medical school and got his degree in medicine, he learned that the only nutrition thing he learned was how important calcium was and that you need to take quite a bit of calcium every day to be healthy. Well, then when he went on to become a specialist, he became a cardiologist, then he learned that calcium is actually contributing to heart disease, and the role of magnesium was emphasized, how magnesium will undo some of the damage of excess calcium. So he said the doctors are giving people too much calcium to create the heart disease, and now we cardiologists, we get these people, and now we can reverse it with magnesium. He said the doctors should have been told about the importance of magnesium along with calcium originally, and it wouldn't have so much heart disease today.
Do you think it's possible then on your own, if you're motivated and self-directed, to pick and choose, especially today with online learning? I'm a student at MIT now. I study molecular genetics and physics. It's incredible because you can sit back and watch a professor give a tutorial and you can reverse it and stop it. And then if you don't understand a word, you can Google that word. And so compared to book reading, which I do, I use an e-reader as well. So I think that it's important that we recognize that there's all kinds of great men in the past and today even who are not necessarily formally educated but are incredibly knowledgeable and very successful in what they do. Isn't that correct?
Absolutely, Corey. If you're curious, if you have a natural instinct to learn, and one of the things that I've been asked, how does the average consumer, when they walk into a store, know what to buy? What brand is good? Which brand maybe not so good? Which formula is better than so on? Unfortunately, that information is not easily available, but the curious consumer can find that information out quickly by going to the website. You know, almost every brand that's out there has a website, and you can do some research. You can, you know, find out about the company, find out, do they make their own products, or do they have it manufactured by a contract manufacturer, or who's their technical people, who are their nutritionists on staff, and so on. So you can learn quite a bit. I find one of the most important sources of information in my work is the Oregon State University, the Linus Pauling Institute, about nutrition and the role of nutrients. I think is one of the best, if not the best, website that I've ever seen. It's incredible. And so we have this tool today, which we didn't have, which I didn't have, you know, 35, 40 years ago when I started Quest Vitamins. I used to have to hire a person to go to UBC to get all the scientific papers and bring them back and then take them back again. But now it's all available online, and I can get far more work done in a short time with the role of the Internet. But even then, the Internet, as you know, is a two-edged sword. It's not all necessarily true. You have to know what is real and what is not. So Internet sources such as the Medline or New England Journal Medicine or the National Academy of Sciences. These are the highly regarded professional scientific organizations, and you can't go wrong by following theirs. But there's a lot of so-called self-proclaimed gurus out there who are pushing their own product or, you know, come up with some strange formula and saying this is better than anything that's ever been out without any research to substantiate what they say. Or, on the other hand, a lot of people promote the role of nutrients based on in vitro petri dish studies. An example, vitamin C in a petri dish will destroy DNA. And of course, they can say, well, it's going to kill you because the DNA is necessary for life. But in the body, vitamin C is part of the production of DNA and the replication of DNA. So, you know, you have to look at the context. In Vitex, my company now, and before with Quest as well, we were basing our information on human studies, what actually happens in the human body, not in a petri dish, to make a decision whether to pursue a certain avenue of research or supplementation for your own use.
Yeah, I know. One of the things that impresses me about you and your work, Barry, is that you do follow the science and you're curious, and I believe that you're true to the scientific method. I've been studying a lot in that area lately. Francis Bacon, the father of empiricism and evidence-based science, and he referred to a pseudoscience as wishful science, the kind of science that we see today. A lot of corporations buy clinicians and pressure or pay them to fix the outcomes, and they use associations or correlations and not a true cause and effect relationship. So would you say that the formulas that you have and that you've worked on and formulated yourself, do they follow that pathway of the true scientific method?
Well, yes. Obviously, we don't do the research ourselves. That's beyond the capacity of most companies. However, most of the legitimate research is independent and is performed by government institutions or by leading universities. You always have to be careful of research sponsored by a company who want to get a certain result. It may be true, but you have to be suspect of that type of research, and we don't follow that type of research. If it says that the National Academy of Sciences did a certain research on vitamin E, say, and this is the results they got with this dosage and this type of conditions, then we can rely upon that, and we follow that type of proof, as it were.
Is there any vitamin that created such an impact in your life that it helped sell you on the credibility of vitamin? Maybe it was a mineral or an enzyme or a herb. Did you ever have that sort of aha experience?
I suppose I had it with a couple of the herbs out of Jethro Kloss's book, Back to Eden. One of them that was very simple to use was cayenne pepper. And, you know, it's amazing what cayenne pepper can do. And I also had a similar experience with garlic. As far as the vitamins are concerned, I can't say I had any specific vitamin, but every vitamin is essential to life. A deficiency of even one vitamin will result in poor health or, if it's totally deficient, death. Example, vitamin C, it's the anti-scurvy vitamin. It takes about 60 milligrams of vitamin C to prevent scurvy. But if you eliminate the vitamin C, and it's almost impossible to do, but if you did, the person would die very quickly. However, a lot of the marketing people say, well, 60 milligrams is the amount that prevents scurvy, so that's what we're going to give people. And they wind up getting subclinical scurvy, which means, we used to say, alive but barely.
Yes.
So, you know, the amount of vitamin C necessary to maintain the optimum function in the body, proven by the research, is somewhere around 400 milligrams a day on a regular basis.
Yeah, I think what Jeffrey Bland calls vertically ill.
Yeah.
You're not bedridden, but you're not well. I guess you're a victim of survival, but not thriving as an optimum specimen of humanity.
Well, that's right. And life expectancy, of course, is directly related to the nutritional status of the individual. That's been proven over and over and over again.
Yeah, you know, you've got an incredible amount of expertise and insight building empires, more or less, from the dirt up. And you know the retail and the wholesale. Now, a lot of people I find, they don't have the same knowledge base or awareness of the manufacturing side, the raw material side, as the retail. They go into the health food store or the gym and they buy their vitamins and they read journals and books, etc. But they really don't know where the vitamins come from. And for me, it was something that really opened my eyes as a retailer, you know, moving to wholesale and seeing how the whole thing works. So maybe you can help us, just kind of in a nutshell, explain or tell us how the whole system works. What's behind that health food store? Where do those vitamins come from?
Well, vitamins, first of all, the vitamins that we see today, the raw materials, are originally the product of the pharmaceutical industry. Vitamins were discovered and used by the pharmaceutical industry long before the health food industry latched onto them. In fact, I remember in the early days of Quest, quite a few of the very purest health food stores didn't even want to take vitamins. They wanted everything from their food or from herbal formulas. And they had a point because, you know, you don't need vitamins as a supplement if all the things in your life are, you know, perfect. Your food is highly nutritious, organically farmed, you know, not cooked to death, and so on and so forth. You can live a very healthy life without the use of supplements. But today, that's almost impossible. I like to always refer to explain to people why they need vitamins, in that the water-soluble vitamins have a half-life of about 7 days. So you pick up a fresh spinach with all those vitamins. 7 days later, it's lost half of the vitamin content. And another 7 days, it's lost half again. So in 14 days, that fresh spinach is only 25% of the nutrients it had. Now, when I say 14 days, that's the time research has shown that in our latitude, Vancouver, around the 49th parallel, that's the average time it takes for the consumer to put food into their mouth from the time it's been picked. It usually is picked, it's stored, it's shipped, goes to the supermarket, the person buys it, but they don't eat the whole thing all at once. It stays in the fridge for 2-3 days. On the average, it's 14 days. So we're getting nutrition that's only 25% there. And we need the 100% to be optimally healthy. So that's the case of taking nutritional supplements. But they must be manufactured in a correct way, because manufacturing nutritional supplements, there's various technologies out there. And with Quest, we pioneered the heat-free, solvent-free technology, because when I found out how vitamins were made, they're actually baked much like a pizza. They have big bake ovens and granulation ovens where they put the mixtures of vitamins and mix it with alcohol, put it in an oven and bake it at 400 degrees for sometimes several hours to give the raw material a consistency so it will flow properly through the tablet presses or the capsule filling machines. There has to be a specific characteristic to the raw material so that you can actually utilize it, especially with enzymes. Enzymes don't survive anything much above body temperature. You know, after about 105 degrees, enzymes start breaking down. Well, a 400-degree oven is total destroys the enzymes. And same with cooking. You know, even with waterless cookware with, you know, anything above 115, enzymes are denatured. So you need, you know, raw food in your diet so that you have enzyme activity. I've always been very strong on the role of enzymes in health because they're absolutely essential to how vitamins function. In fact, vitamins are actually called coenzymes. So we need these enzymes in our food for the body to function properly. Manufacturing, almost all the manufacturing in the early days, back in the early 80s when Quest set up its state-of-the-art manufacturing, we used a technology called chilcination, which we didn't require any heat or solvents. It uses strictly mechanical pressure to 40,000 pounds per square inch pressure that the raw materials, which are like flour, most of them, they're very fluffy and they don't handle well in a machine. So they have to give it this dense flowing characteristic, and compression was one way to do it. So we installed the first compression equipment to process vitamins without the use of heat or solvents. And that's a process that we use to this day. All the Vitax products are manufactured by a company that uses this technology. In fact, the company that uses the technology was given that technology from the days of Quest. They were one of our associates. So heat-free, solvent-free technology is incredibly important. It's a bit more expensive, and not all the companies use that type of technology, although it's starting to spread now.
So the vitamins that are on the shelves, they can be produced in a whole variety of different ways. They're derived from different sources. And, of course, like when you buy vitamin E or, say, vitamin C, a pharmaceutical grade, that's an entirely different animal or creature than, say, if you get maybe a herbal extract, which was derived through some heat-free freeze-drying process. You've got, I don't know, golden seal or a tincture, for example. So you have to learn how all these things are made, and they're not all made the same. Is that correct?
That's very true, Corey. With herbs, of course, these are medicines, and they're designed with usually generations of experience, you know, in the cultures of the world, the Chinese, the Ayurvedic, and so on. through trial and error over the centuries, mankind has learned which herbs will perform, which their therapeutic effect is, and how to prepare them. And if you stay true to that as a medicine, but vitamins are, yes, they're medicines in a way, but they're nutrients to maintain life. So you don't need the herbs. If you're healthy, you don't need a herb, because a healthy body doesn't often get sick. So the vitamins that come from natural foods in a small quantity would not be sufficient to give the body the optimum nutrients that it needs to maintain optimal health. So we need to rely upon, you know, manufactured vitamins. And when I say manufactured vitamins, these are like yogurt. They're manufactured through bacterial enzymes and fungi to produce the same technology, the same molecule as it appears in nature. So they're nature equivalent. In the very early days of vitamins, of course, some of them were made from the coal tar derivatives. They were truly synthetic, but those have gone now because new technology using bacteria have opened up the channel for very effective, pure, active vitamins that are as close to nature as possible, because bacteria are part of nature.
Jethro Cloth, I haven't heard that name for ages. Barry, reminds me of my retail days. I used to use that book all the time as a reference book. You know, the consumer would come in and you'd open up the book and show them what the pages would say. It was sort of a third-party proclamation.
Yeah.
We weren't really allowed to make certain claims and all that. Well, from Pauling, I learned that, okay, I actually met him a couple of times, and I do know the website you refer to, and it's a great, great website. I agree completely. But he said that as we age, our metabolic and digestive enzymes will decrease no matter how healthy you are. Your cells will oxidize, stiffen, and harden through oxidation. Your anabolic hormones will decrease. You'll become less elastic. So you can't absorb the same amount of nutrients from exactly, like if you had that fresh, raw, organic spinach, cooked or raw, as an 18-year-old versus being 80, the outcome would be different. So he said for that reason, you know, the vitamins are an advantage. But I came up with an analogy because I studied steel and iron and how they make steel. And I learned that iron, which is very strong metal, as you know, I think the Hittites discovered it, and that's how they beat down the Egyptians that were using copper for their swords.
Uh-huh.
But iron is made much stronger by adding a small amount of carbon, which, as you know, is organic. So you add a very tiny amount of carbon, like 0.2 to 2%.
Yeah, you can do carbon steel.
Yes, and then you get steel. Now, steel is more flexible, it's more resistant to rust, and it's much, much stronger. And so that's my analogy with diet. The diet, the whole food diet, is iron, but if you add dietary supplement, which is carbon, organic, it makes it more resistant to rust and damage and injury. That's kind of how I teach my students.
You're right on. That's a good simile to use. Another one is that, you know, your car, if you put good quality oil in the engine, the car will run much, much longer. I know I've learned this years and years ago from a fellow I met who ran a fishing boat fleet in Iceland, and he used this synthetic oil in his fleet, and his engines lasted 2-3 times longer than the other boats. So I've used synthetic oil in my own car and all the cars that I've had since those days, and they get hundreds of thousands of kilometers more than they're expected to get. So our body's the same way. We put the right lubricants or the right constituents into our body. The body has a fantastic ability to use these nutrients. Our DNA, of course, is programmed, and if we give it the basic building blocks, the body will repair itself and maintain itself in a very healthy way. Of course, Linus Pauling, very right, that we age. No one has discovered how to stop that. All we can do is slow it down, as it were, or make us age more gracefully. That's one of my hobbies over the years, is I've studied, you know, anti-aging methods. I've studied cultures that live a long time, have a longer life expectancy. We see in the Western world, we see the life expectancy of North Americans is decreasing. We now see that the children of today will not live as long as their parents because of the increase of what we call lifestyle diseases, degenerative diseases such as cancer, heart disease, diabetes, bowel disorders, Crohn's disease, colitis, you name it. These are lifestyle diseases, and, you know, it's very difficult to get the information to our professionals to warn people. You asked me earlier about a mentor. The one that actually stands out the most was Dr. Taraskin of the University of Alabama.
Oh, Emmanuel Taraskin, yeah.
I had the very good fortune to work, well, indirectly with him, met him 2-3 times, but he was in charge of this major study funded by the U.S. Department of Agriculture called the SONA study. And the SONA study meant S-O-N-A, suggested optimum nutrient allowance. This was done back in the 70s, and they realized that the so-called RDA, recommended dietary allowances, were not enough to maintain the good health of the population. They're only designed to maintain short-term health. In fact, it was originally started by the military. They wanted to know what nutrient levels they needed to give their soldiers for a life expectancy of 30 days, because that was the life of a combat soldier on the average. So the RDAs were actually the amount of they put in their K rations that keep them from getting dysentery or scurvy or the beriberi or these other deficiency diseases, so they wouldn't die other than, you know, their bullet wounds in the field. But the U.S. government, Department of Agriculture, was so concerned by the mid-70s of the rising incident of cancer, heart disease, these other diseases, that they funded this study, and it was carried out by Dr. Traskin and his partner, Dr. Ringstorff, at the University of Alabama. It was a 15-year, multi-million-dollar study involving over 13,000 people, and they wanted to find out the level of nutrients that will maintain good health of the population, not just keep them alive, but barely, but vibrant, robust, good health. And that came to be known as the SONA study. And we based our formulas, because when I first became aware of the study, I contacted Dr. Traskin and I asked him, I said, well, this is the stuff we've been looking for. Here's the long-term study, not just a short-term study, but a significant study involving over 13,000 people in different regions of the United States, and found out the level of nutrients that are necessary to maintain good health. And these nutrient levels were substantially higher in most cases than the RDA. To make a long story short, when that report was released, it was pulled back by the FDA because there was such a hue and cry went up by the food manufacturers and that their food wasn't adequate that they had that thing canceled. I thought, unfortunately, a copy of the original, and I've published that on our website, actually. But it just shows you that the political powers don't want population to be healthy, because a healthy population, there's not much money in it. A sick population is worth billions and trillions.
So we need a total paradigm shift, and not a reformation, but a complete termination of how it is, and a repurposing of the purpose of humanity as a unified force, I suppose. Barry, what is your website address?
It's www.vitex, V-I-T-E-X, nutrition, all one word, vitexnutrition.com.
And you've got the formulas presented there and details pertaining to them?
Yeah, so a lot of research articles right on the front page. I've just updated my book, The Nutrition Digest of Essential Nutrients. It's been revised. You can link onto that right from our front page and print it out if you want, or just use it as a reference source. I've had many compliments because it takes all the information from multiple textbooks and, in a way, like a Reader's Digest. That's how the thought was, to get it simple so that someone can find out, what is vitamin C? What does it do? What is its therapeutic applications? What are the consequences of deficiency, and so on, and where the food sources are, and et cetera, et cetera. And it covers all the vitamins, the minerals, essential fatty acids, amino sugars, and so on.
Yeah, I'll definitely download that myself and have a look at that. I want to read through that. And everyone out there, let's get to that site, vitexnutrition.com. And I can really guarantee that these formulas are reliable. We know that Canadian standards of vitamin production are some of the highest in the world, certainly second to none. We have great regulatory standards, certainly compared to the United States and parts of Europe, etc. Barry, our time is gone. What a wonderful interview, and thank you so much for the time and sharing your insight.
Well, thank you, Corey. I always love talking about something dear to my heart, like the nutrition industry.
Yeah, me too. You know, you and I can go on for hours, and we have. And again, a special thanks for the opportunity that you gave me at one time when I went to see you, and I remember sitting in your office, and I wanted to work with Quest because I knew that it was a great company, and you said, well, we don't have anything for you right now, Corey, but hey, why don't we make something up? And I never forgot that, but you know, the lesson that I learned was that I had to be there and put out and show up, and if I didn't do that, you never would have known I had an interest.
Well, that's exactly it, and that's so true in business in general, that you've got to make opportunities. You know, doors don't open by themselves. You've got to open it, or if it does open by itself, you got to go through it.
Absolutely. Barry, you've got a few years on me. I just turned 55, and I was born in 1957. And I know that you're a little bit closer to that theoretical maximum lifespan. So from the men and women I know that are in their 60s and 70s and 80s, and some that I've met just before their final departure, they seem to become more philosophical, more concerned about the quality of life, how they act. Morality becomes a big issue, looking back and thinking how they can improve themselves. So in your own particular experience in life, I perceive that you're not afraid of death. And I know that a lot of people are, and it creates a lot of anxiety and a lot of tension, causing a lot of chaos in humanity. What is your philosophical outlook in life that helps sustain you and that gives you sort of that ambition and purpose to wake up and keep doing what you're doing?
Well, the one thing that I am afraid of, in a way, is a living death. I'm afraid of, in a way, of dying of cancer, dying of heart disease. So I make an effort to avoid the things that cause those in life. I'm not afraid of death because we all have to die. But to live, you know, a burden on those of the family, of being sick, a burden on society, with no end in sight, is always something I have wanted to avoid. And I guess I've seen people in extensive care hospitals, you know, with breathing apparatus and walkers and so on, just waiting to die. It's a one-way street. And I often thought when, you know, if I was in the educational system, I think one of the best things is to take the school kids, you know, the teenagers, and take them to these extensive care hospitals and see the people that are near death and say, this is the result of the lifestyle. You kids are young. You can follow a path now. I was fortunate because I was training. When I was early 20s, that I adopted these things because I had a vested interest in increasing my performance. But thank God I did. The young people, I tried to impress upon them, you've got to take steps now if you don't want to wind up when you're 60, 70, 80 in an intensive healthcare ward or a burden on your family because you got cancer. And, you know, when I started in the industry, cancer was 1 out of 25 people would get it. At the 2000, it was 1 in 2. And today, it's closer to 2 out of 3 people living today will develop cancer. And yet we spent billions trying to cure cancer. You know, if we're not curing cancer, we're creating cancer. And we're creating a huge economic plus, I guess, to the pharmaceutical industry who make money on these drugs and on the therapy. Cancer costs about $300,000 per person if you get it. That's the average cost. So, you know, I don't want those things to happen to my family, to my friends. And I've seen many friends who are dead now. I just turned 75, so I had quite a few of them over the years I've lost. But they've all died because of their lifestyle. They drank too much. They smoked. They ate a high-fat diet, you know. They wouldn't change, even though I'd tell them, look, you're killing yourself. Oh, well, got to go one day or another. So the attitude is so important. You know, we're here. We got a gift of life. I don't know what comes after death. I don't think anyone ever knows. But all I know is while we're here now, we got to make ourselves appreciative of the fact that we're alive and nature's given us a gift of life. Let's honor nature and make sure that that life is vibrant and healthy.
Barry Carlson has been my special expert guest on this edition of SNU. He is the chairman of Vitex Nutrition, a great pioneer in the industry and a man who's really devoted to helping people and has incredible insight and knowledge in the retail and manufacturing and the nutrition science. Barry, we thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Corey. It's been my pleasure.
We hope you've enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview on this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU is produced monthly and is distributed internationally by the Corey Holly Institute. To learn how you can subscribe to this unique and motivational audio program, please visit CoreyHolly.com or call us toll-free in the U.S. and Canada at 1-866-433-1595. That's 1-866-433-1595. This is Scott Barrett, wishing you the very best of health and fitness for life.
Represent his lifestyle. New way of life. Listen. It's SNU, sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight, Malik with sports nutrition update. Prolong your life, live long, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHolly.com. Love your life, live right, things will be alright. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see a change in heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.